Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, July 19th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Jack Walsh?
No, I'm not Jack Walsh, but I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. So, the woman with the voice like liquid sex, Laura May of Laura May Diaries, joins us again for part two of our chat for this The Erotic Mind podcast series. As you recall from last week, our guest brings her erotica to us in a very unique form, as an audio diary. Laura May and I have such a good time together, why, it's almost sinful.
Are you going to propose? Because if you're not, quit staring at me, okay?
Well, I was going to propose, but now I'm not. But wait, did you miss part one of Laura May and my conversation, which appeared here at this time last week? Not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the site's search function in the sidebar. Type in podcast number 218 and presto. But don't forget the pound sign when you do your search.
Be good to yourself this time, okay?
Okay. And speaking of being good to myself, I'm happy to report that Laura May will share another sizzling selection from the fruit of her erotic mind. I tell you folks, if her story doesn't get you, her reading it aloud will. And Laura May invites you to enter her world at lauramaydiaries.com. And she's also on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and iTunes. And you can find all of those links on her main site.
Tell Jimmy I said hello.
Okay. Hey, Jimmy, he says hello. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the VOD, or Video On Demand, tab. The video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Laura May. We can hardly... Stop doing that.
Hey, you're a gay man. What do you care?
Because I think I have tendencies when I listen to your voice. You're turning a good man bad, as it were, so to speak.
I don't think you're a good man.
Oh, you know what? My mom would agree.
You're a great man.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart.
So okay, listen. I have to tell you my theory about
okay.
Gay men.
Alrighty.
If diamonds had a fragrance,
yes.
Gay men would smell like diamonds.
Do you honestly think that? I think that too.
I think so. I have a lot of gay friends, and I'm dying to fuck them all, but they don't want me.
Oh, that just drives me cuckoo. You know, I have absolutely the most wonderful straight and bi female friends. Actually, mm-hmm. Better straight and bi female friends than gay men friends. Isn't that
really?
Odd? Yeah, I do. And they're so sweet, they're so kind, they're so wonderful to me, and we get on like gangbusters. And interestingly enough, a lot of the straight men that I know go, you know, how is it that you're so successful with, you know, these women? You know, they mm-hmm. just love you. They, you know, they would do anything for you. And they said, you know, we can hardly get ourselves laid. And I said, well, you know, pretend that you're straight, pretend that you're a gay man, and, you know, treat women as gay men treat women, and you'll get laid a lot.
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
I agree. So, I agree.
Instead of just grabbing and grabbing, you know, buy them flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to them like, you know, they're your sister. And that's the way to do it.
Right on.
Anyhow, we left off at one of an exciting part of our discussion last week, and I want to pick up right from there, if you don't mind. So last week we talked about your anonymity and you know, the importance of that, both for your work and for your own protection and all that kind of stuff. So can I ask, do many people in your life, or do any people in your life, know of your erotic work?
A few of my friends.
Oh, cool.
Again, I'm not sure how people at work would react if they knew about my little dirty secret.
Yeah.
But so, I'll cross the bridge when I'll get there.
So is it difficult keeping this secret, or is it more fun to have this other anonymous personality?
I have to tell you that I love it. It's almost like when I was a kid. It's an alternate reality.
Oh, it's so true.
You know, by day I run this clean sort of life, and by night I'm using my voice to make people horny. it's like being a stripper, but they can't see me and they don't need to tip me.
Uh-huh. Although, wouldn't that be fun?
It would be amazing.
You need a tip jar. You need to put a tip jar on your thing. Isn't that cool? I just came up with that idea. And if you put it on there, you just have to say, thanks, Dr. Dick, for the tip jar idea. I have one on my side, as you know. I have a donate button on my side because it's important, you know, that people pay for the goodies that they get.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Anyhow, and your stuff is all free too. That's the thing. I mean, that, you know, I mean, it's obviously a labor of love. You do it so well. On some sites, I know you have to pay for such stuff. So, you know, it's wonderful that, you know, you're being so generous with your time and effort and your sexy self.
Yeah, I just want people to enjoy it without the hustle of credit card or anything like that.
So, as you know, my primary reason for doing this series of interviews is to uncover something of the creative process. Mm-hmm. Where do you find inspiration for the images that become your erotica? Is it primarily the Craigslist connection?
Mainly it's a journal.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes just by reading 3-4 lines from my journal, I get an image of an entire story.
Wow.
Sometimes it's a
piece of music. That's some journal, girlfriend.
I know, you have no idea what's going on in there. You think my diary is dirty. You need to read my journal.
Oh.
Sometimes I hear a piece of music that inspires me. Mm-hmm. And it gives me an idea or reminds me an event. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go for a walk. I look around. I see a hot guy. And boom, I get an idea. It's very unpredictable.
Mm. I get an erection. You get an idea. That's great.
Get wet.
You are... I love this conversation. I absolutely love this conversation, and I know our audience is going to love it too. And speaking of which, can we share another one of your readings with our audience?
Oh, of course.
Cool beans. Set it up for us, will you?
Okay, so in this story, I received a happy ending massage from a professional masseuse, and it was really hot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool beans.
Do you want me to read it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Paul knocked on the door and asked if I'm ready. As ready as I could be, I answered. He walked in, and just the sound of his footsteps made me feel relaxed. I kept my eyes closed the whole time. I really wanted to clear my mind and just let him control my body. He opened the oil bottle and rubbed his hands. His breath smelled like peppermint, and he was wearing a very seductive cologne. I was already turned on and couldn't wait for him to start touching me. Paul stood right above the bed and took the blanket down to my waist. He put his hands on my shoulders, and I started seeing colors. It was like a magical trip. He knew exactly where and how to touch me.
His hands were gliding up and down my back, and I felt like my whole body was melting under his touch. What a talented man. My eyes were shut, but I was fully awake. I mean, fully awake. I created a little puddle of happiness in the bed. I still can't believe how wet I got by just a simple massage. Paul put his fingers on my inner thighs and my ass, and I couldn't control my voice. I heard myself moaning and breathing heavily. I was so aroused, I had to touch him. I reached out and tried to caress his thigh, but he didn't let me. He pushed my hand back on the bed. Then, he pulled my thong up and moved it a bit so it would rub against my clit. He started rocking my body from side to side, holding my butt cheeks, and I felt like I'm on a train to a faraway land. Paul just kept on rocking my body from side to side. I was so wet. I wanted him inside of me so badly, but he just kept on rocking my body from side to side, faster and faster. In my wildest dreams, I never expected a man to be so original about this. There's a place called Orgasmville, and Paul took me there. I call this kind of pleasure the holiday climax. My whole body was shivering, but I'm so greedy. I wanted more. I wanted him to fuck me, but Paul was not interested. He started massaging my head, and it felt like a sweet spell. I fell asleep for a few minutes. When I woke up, Paul was gone, and there was warm green tea next to the bed.
It's beautiful. That's so grand. I love it.
I'm glad you like it.
So speaking of erotic art, I sense that it's difficult to define what is erotic and what is art because those things fluctuate with time and culture. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and like I told you before, I think cocks are awesome and I love them all. If you look back at history and those temples in India of the Kama Sutra.
Right.
I see erotica as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are not capable of seeing the artistic side of erotica, they are limited. And that's it. That's all I have.
Well, yes. I think so too. You know, I mean, but we all know that a good number of the people that join us on this planet, you know, just have shut that down completely or are so buttoned down that, you know, the idea of something sexually overt, even in terms of words or sounds, there's something wrong with that.
Okay, these are the people that watch porn the most.
I'm not joking with you. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the sexually repressed, you know, and they're compelled to do it. You know, it's not a free thing. You know, it's not like they're, you know, I'm going to enjoy this. It's actually, you know, almost torture on their part. It's a way of torturing themselves. It's a really strange dynamic, but I've seen
that. And that's
so
why
often.
Their sexuality is so fucked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they watch porn instead of accepting erotic art.
Yes.
And pornography, I mean, there's a purpose for it, and I'm not going to lie and say I never watched porn, because I do watch porn from time to time. But after you're done with it, you realize how degrading it is for human beings, and you just turn it off.
It can be. So I'm assuming that you see a rather clear distinction between erotic art and pornography, or erotica and pornography, yes?
Yes, definitely. Porn is an eye candy or a quick fix.
Right.
And erotica nurtures the soul. It makes you think and feel and ask questions, and it's so much deeper than just straight up sex.
Right.
And the way I defined it in my head last night, there's a big difference between drinking shots of tequila to get drunk to slowly enjoying a bottle of wine.
Oh, that's a brilliant analogy. Good for you.
So, thanks.
So there is a time, you know, for slamming tequila, but more often than not, the time is better served sipping, you know, a really good bottle of wine. Yes?
I prefer wine on a daily basis than tequila on a daily basis, right?
Yes.
So I think that the message in erotic art is so much deeper than sex, and it really penetrates the heart. Mm-hmm. And there's a connection between the characters versus pornography. It's so specific.
Yes.
There's no story. There's no emotional connection. It's just a cock in a pussy, or a cock in an ass, or a cock or a mouth. And I don't know. Maybe it sounds like I'm putting porn down, but I do think it has a valuable purpose. And, you know, personally, I'm much more attracted to healthy art, erotica,
right.
But I do like to eat candy from time to time and drink water, you know? It's like drink tequila from time to time.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, there is plenty of both, it seems to me. And that, you know, but if people are free to choose, you know, like today I have a real hankering for some really smutty porn, and later, I would rather, you know, spend some time with delicious erotica, and you know, it serves a purpose, and you know, I think, but I think good pornography and good erotica are really the true interest. Because there's a lot of real junky pornography, and there's real junky erotica out there as well. So I like it when it's an art form and not just something that's cranked out.
For me, with porn, if I see that the chick is not having fun, and she's actually, she looked like she's been either abused or raped, I can't watch this.
I know.
It's painful.
I agree. So can I guess that you write other stuff besides the stuff that turns out to be your erotica on your site?
Spot on. Here's my surprise. Dr. Dick, I actually wrote you a little song.
Oh, get out. Really?
You know how much I love to sing, so I opened my rhyming book the other day and found some words that rhyme with Dr. Dick.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to hear it?
I do.
Okay. Do you want to help me snap? Okay. Dr. Dick, I want to tell you something real quick. I'm feeling sick, but you're giving me a double kick. Dr. Dick, you know, you really are slick. So why don't you change your pick and let me lick your stick? You're swimming on the other side of the creek, but I can change my name to Robert or Nick. Let me finish.
Oh,
I can like a man, whether you're thin or you're thick. So let me know what you think, 'cause I wanna suck your. Say it.
Dick. Oh my God, that was absolutely wonderful. Nobody's ever sung a song about me to me.
There you go.
Oh, that what an honor. Thank you very much. All those creative juices.
Yes, we're coming out with your dick.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That really was a surprise. Holy cow. So let me ask you a question that I ask a lot of people in this series, and that is, do you have a particular audience in mind when you create? Do you see women in your audience and men in your audience? And if you do, do you write toward one or the other? Or is there even a difference?
Okay. I don't have a particular audience in mind. I just hope that little children are not listening
right,
to me.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I don't think that there's a difference when I write. I don't think about, should I write this for a woman or for
right.
a man?
Good, good,
but
good.
I know that women's reaction is different.
Yes.
When they listen to this to my diary, they can relate to my side of the story, while the men wish to experience it with me or with another woman.
Right,
so
it's
sort of a different perspective.
So do you get lots of feedback from your audience?
Not a ton, but the people that respond to it are, they're amazing. The reaction that I got a couple of days ago, two people sent me personal emails, and they said that they couldn't stop listening to the diary. They were at work, and they put their headphones in, and episode after episode, and it's such a huge compliment.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
Because they're being bad right along with you.
Yes.
I love it, I love it, I love it. Do you have a writing ritual or routine? How do you get warmed up to write and record your smut?
Okay, these are two different things.
Okay, good, good, good.
Writing, I usually go for a walk to clear my mind.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
my
cool.
brain is full of bullshit, like the everyday bullshit. It's
yeah,
just
right,
sitting
right,
in your
right.
head. Going for a walk, looking at the view, or just going for a walk without looking at anything. It's just sort of like working out.
Yes. Oh, good. Good, good, good.
And for my podcast, the recording, sometimes I drink a little bit of wine
mm-hmm.
and have some cheese and grapes and like healthy stuff sitting right all around
wonderful.
The room. Sometimes I get naked.
Really? How interesting.
Yes.
So you're really getting into character and stuff like that.
Yes. It's not a sexual nudity.
Right.
Because if I'll start touching myself, I wouldn't
right.
get the job done.
Ah!
It's not going to happen.
Besides, the keyboard gets all sticky.
Exactly. I'm sort of a nudist, but only at home.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I strip down, no clothes, no makeup, it's the real me. There's no, I don't have covers, I don't have a mask, and it really helps me.
It's so true.
To keep everything grounded. So if I'm uninspired, I go to record the podcast,
uh-huh.
and I'm uninspired, I just take my clothes off, and boom, you know, I'm
right.
there.
So it's a liberating thing, then. Is that what you're saying?
I think this whole process is liberating myself as a woman.
Gosh, that's so wonderful. And it's the perfect segue to what I want to talk about next. Has reading, writing, and speaking your erotica allowed, empowered you as a woman, or perhaps enriched your sexual or sensual life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, duh. But I think that for me, ever since I started writing this and recording it and sharing it, I became much more sensual than sexual.
How interesting.
Yes. And the way I define sensuality is it's the awareness of any of your senses and taking pleasure in the experience. So it doesn't have to be the act of sex.
Right.
I can enjoy eating or drinking or talking mm-hmm. or walking, and it's like mm-hmm. touching the sand at the mm-hmm. beach or mm-hmm. touching green grass can mm-hmm. be very sensual.
Mm-hmm.
And sexuality is pretty similar, mm-hmm. but it focuses mainly on the actual act of sex.
Right.
So I
right,
think
right, right.
it became
it's really genitally directed. And that's that's what's so wonderful about your stuff and erotica in general. It brings a personhood widens out the sexuality into sensuality, which is much bigger than a genital focus.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. I mean, I love genitals, and genitals are wonderful. God knows I'd be lost without mine. And they do. And some of them do. But, you know, it's so much, you know, after a while, you know, those parts, you know, are, everyone has one, and, you know, that's really cool. But it's, you know, that stuff that's going on between a person's ears that I find is the most sensual and the most sexual and the most erotic.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, tell me who you are and tell me, you know, seduce me. You know, that's the activity of a mind. That is not mm-hmm. an activity of a body, if you
I
ask
agree.
Me.
I agree. Cool I totally beans. Agree.
So do you suppose that others would benefit from reading, writing, and or recording their own erotica?
Okay. Reading or listening to someone else's fantasies can be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty inspiring, I think, and it mm-hmm. might give you some fresh ideas for the bedroom.
Right.
Writing in general, not even erotica, is the ultimate way to express yourself. So putting things down on a piece of paper or on the computer can put things in order in your brain, and it really helps. Writing erotica, or writing what you want to have in bed with your partner, is a great way to say to yourself, this is what I want.
Right. Without really coming out to my partner and say, do it this way, you know, if I put it in a story, or if I put it, you know, down on paper and, you know, hand it off to him so he could read it, you know, that takes the burden off of me of, you know, saying it out loud to him or her.
There's
would you not
nothing
agree?
That would, yeah, there's nothing that would give me greater pleasure than getting a love letter from somebody that loves me and want me to do something special for him.
Oh,
and say,
you know? Yeah.
So if you just sit and write something very romantic and beautiful and tell them how great they are and here's what I want to try,
mm-hmm.
if you can't come and say it to their faces.
Right.
And the other thing you asked about recording, you know, I don't know if everybody should or can record their stuff, but I think everybody should experiment with reading out loud.
Right.
And once you're comfortable with that, just if you can record it, great. Listen back. It's a very interesting experience. The first time I listened to my voice back, I was like, holy crap.
Did you like it?
I loved it because
oh, good.
I really enjoyed it. And, you know, when I was much younger, about 10 years younger, somebody told me that I should get into the phone sex industry. And I was like, this is a huge insult. And he said, no, it's not. Your voice is
oh,
so
it's
sexy.
So true. It's so true.
So then when I recorded my voice the first time, I was like, ah, that's what he meant. I shouldn't have.
Right.
You know,
right,
so angry with him.
Mm. So if nothing else, you know, this exercise for other people would provide a person an expanded vocabulary for communicating one's sexual desires, right?
I totally agree with you. And I think that we talked about this earlier. A lot of people limit themselves to normal sex.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, everything is normal if you open your mind to it.
Yeah.
Erotica really helps with sexual communication, and it might spark some old memories or new sexual adventures. Mm-hmm. You never know, but
yeah.
you have to open your mind.
Yeah. And one can't really do that without, you know, a little bit of
help.
Help, exactly that. And assistance, for sure, you know, of like, oh, I never thought of that. I mean, imagine, you know, if, you know, we used the belts from our robes to kind of, you know, tied one another up. Wouldn't
yeah.
that be fun? And I never thought about that until I heard it in a story or I read it in a story. How interesting.
Yeah.
How interesting. Gosh. So today, erotic artists and authors abound, although in some circles, this genre is still not accepted as mainstream. Has this been your experience as well?
Yes, but again, I just started this journey.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the future is going to bring, but I think that mainstream media is full of erotica and more so pornographic images.
Right.
You know, so it's not impossible to open the door to a larger audience. And, like, if you look at pop culture, the sexier, the better.
Right.
The sexier sells more.
Right. But it's titillating. It's not necessarily life affirming. It's you know, it's used as a weapon sometimes. It's used to sell products. But it's not necessarily, you know, isn't this a wonderful celebration of what humans are capable of?
I think it's sort of like taking advantage of tits to sell milk, you know. That's the way I see it. But if you'll go deeper, it turns into erotica, and
right.
some people just don't want to listen to it.
Right.
I would say this. I'm telling my story, and I do recommend people who are scared of the word cock not to log on to my website.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're scared uh-huh. of this upfront, straightforward stories, and I'm very direct about everything, then just don't go there, and I don't mind if it's not going to be mainstream.
Right. So true. So, is it possible for you as an erotic author to eroticize something that you don't find particularly sexy?
Yes, but I'm a horny bitch.
So you can weave stuff in to your stories that, you know, if I was listening to, you know, that part of the story without the erotica, you know, there would be, you know, nothing erotic. About
okay. In the latest episode that I uploaded last night, I managed to make eating fish sound hot.
Oh.
There's nothing more, like, eating fish is not hot. There's nothing hot about eating fish.
Well, like, there's a lot of people who eat sushi that think it's, like, next to
sort of
sex.
Hot. Yeah, well, maybe, yeah, I don't know.
But that's cool. I mean, if you can do that, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, like, the story that you read for us just a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
or that clip from your podcast, mm-hmm. that was so wonderful because, I mean, here we have, you know, this interaction between a masseur and his client, and the first part of it isn't erotic at all, but it sets, already we're on edge because, you know, we know something amazing is coming.
Well, because you know I'm wet.
And you just didn't pee, so there you go.
Exactly.
So are there topics that you gravitate toward and topics that you avoid?
I like everything
mm-hmm.
genitals.
Okay.
Like cocks, vaginas, asses, especially when the first penetrates the other two.
Wow.
But, and everything goes as long as no one gets hurt.
Right.
Like, I'm not into S&M.
Right, okay.
I'm not into these things, but... Mm-hmm. Everything else, hell yeah.
Do you foresee yourself venturing into gay and or lesbian material?
I sort of did in my episode 3.
Is
I hooked
that
up.
Right?
I hooked up with a pregnant lady.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
You are a pervert. I love that.
I am. I'm terrible. And I have my fair share with the ladies, but I never had the opportunity to play with a gay man yet, so. Are you volunteering?
Mm. If we could put on a little show, a little gay
virtual
show.
Virtual show.
I see it all now. Mm. So who are your inspirations and your sexual heroes, if you have
you
any?
You are.
Oh, get out. Really?
I think anyone I ever hooked up with inspired me to do something with
uh-huh.
it, because it's in my journal.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have... I don't have anything specific.
Okay, good. Thought I would ask, though.
Well, you got an answer, man.
Any advice for the aspiring erotic author?
Keep it real.
Really?
Yeah, keep
yeah.
it real. Even if it's ugly.
Yeah.
It should be real.
Right. I think that's universal advice.
Yeah.
From almost everybody on in this series, they, you know, the thing that they want, they look for most in other works of erotica, and the advice they give is about keeping it real, like
yeah.
grounded, centered, you know.
I think it's any type of art would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so universal, because
right.
you know, in pictures, for example, if I look at a picture and I see a model and she's gorgeous, but the look in her eyes is not real.
Right.
It's fake, or
right.
it doesn't grab me.
Right.
I'm not gonna bother with it.
Yes.
So it's the same
totally
thing.
I totally agree.
With erotica, I mean, if you keep it real, you're going to keep me reading or listening or watching.
Hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, our time is up again this week. I know. I could go on and on. I could go on and on because you are so charming and so delightful. I really love this. It's been such a good time spending this much time in your company. So before we go, would you give us your website address and maybe give us that little advertisement again?
Of course.
Oh, yay.
Okay. LauraMayDiaries.com. So first off, let's walk slowly. I like it slow. If you're under 18, simply walk off. The main page has a brief explanation about me and the website. There are four buttons at the bottom of the page. Home, the diary, hot links, and Dr. Dick is there, and contact. There are five icons on the top of the page. Four of them will send you to my social network pages, and one is Laura May Promotes Safe Sex, and that will send you to the Wikipedia definition of safe sex. But I'm hoping that at some point, I'll get a sponsorship from a condom company and I'll make some money and you will see the latest inventions in the latex industry. Thank you for visiting LauraMayDiaries.com. If you like what you just heard, come back and tell your friends. If you didn't like it, don't come back, but please tell your friends. Thank you and goodbye.
I like it, and I'm coming back.
Woo-hoo.
Laura May, thank you so much for being so generous with your precious time. We are the richer for the experience.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast. We should do it again.
We shall. Be well, and until that time, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Yes.
Bye now.
Goodbye.
Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Get over here. Put your hands up against the wall. Your hands up against the wall.
I loves me some role play. But could this wait until after the show? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads VOD or Video On Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. So remember that the pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? One last thought. I hope you're also following my two other interview series, which appear on Wednesdays. One is called Sex Edge-ucation. I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles, and we investigate the world of fetish sex and kink. The other is called Sex Wisdom. And here, I chat with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that these conversations will be well worth your time. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.